Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome again to the International Masterminders Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm Angela M. Williams of Anointed Masterminders, and I'm here in our virtual studio this morning with my mastermind partners, Beatrice Lewis Saint, our group leader, and our brother and friend, author Rufus Curry Jr. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve. Oh, my God. Can you guys believe we're at the end of the year? That's incredible. That's just incredible. It seems like yesterday we had our first call for 2011, but here we are at the last day, the last blog talk radio show for International Masterminders in 2011. Just incredible. We want to first apologize to all of our listeners for our technical problems we had on Christmas Eve. We sincerely regret that the call was lost. We're having such a great conversation. After the call was lost, we tried to reach out to as many of our listeners were on the call, and many of you joined us on our conference call line to continue the discussion. Prayerfully, the problems that we had last week are resolved. So I invite you to call, text, or email a family member or friend that we're live on the air right now, and they can join us via internet by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or by phone at 661-554-9219. Now, if you want to communicate with us, we've been telling people to go to the chat room, but we're not really sure we've got the chat room thing right. So tell them to just dial in, raise their hand by pressing the number 1 on their phone, and they can ask us a question. Or they can hit us up on Facebook on our page and make a comment there or post a question there. We'll be keeping up with that. And then we'll just open up the lines so you guys know we're out, we're here. We see those of you who are joining us on our switchboard. We certainly appreciate our faithful callers and listeners. Thank you, Terry from Atlanta. I see you're the first caller that's on the switchboard. There's supposed to be someone else out there via internet, but I can't see you. And then we also have Cheryl Lawson Wright in Jacksonville. I've come to know that phone number. And then we've got another caller from the 646 area code. Not sure who you are or where you're from, but we thank you. The calls are now starting to hit the switchboard. So let's get rolling here today. What did you accomplish in 2011? What are your goals for 2012? How will you live your best life in the new year? Cheryl Wright, I believe it, maybe it was Terry last week, said that that actually is her theme this upcoming year. How will you live your best life in the new year? Are you living a balanced and fulfilled life? We are going to be discussing these topics and more. Today we continue our discussion on Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and we're going to wrap up this our conversation for the month of December in Chapter 7, Organized Planning, and then we're going to get into Chapter 8, Decisions. Also, today we're going to be discussing how to develop a vision board. A vision board helps you to crystallize and visualize your dreams, goals, and aspirations. And Sophia from the Tampa area wrote us to say she wasn't going to be able to join us, but guys, she had already started collecting her magazines and gotten all of her materials and supplies together. So after listening to us today, she was going to be able to start developing her vision board. So after she listens to the archives, she's going to be on her way to creating her vision board. That is just so amazing. So we want you, if you don't have one, when we're done, go out. Let's get to rocking and a rolling. Get yourself a vision board for 2012 and watch your vision unfold through the year by quoting your affirmations, writing your goals, and looking at your vision board. So before we get started, Beatrice, tell our listeners about the International Mastermind Association.
Well, we always want to start by reminding people who we are and what it is that we do. As masterminders, we use Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, that is, and we commit to really helping each other reach our goals. We come together as a group in a coordination of knowledge and effort and in a spirit of harmony with two or more people who are focused on helping each other maximize their potential and reach their goals. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives, and that is first things first, spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. Goal setting in these 10 areas of your life will transform you. If you try it, you won't believe it, because so many of us don't plan. We say whatever happens, happens. We don't put our thoughts, ideas, and we don't set action plans. But if I promise you, if you decide you're going to set goals in these 10 areas of your life, you will be amazingly surprised at just how much you'll be able to accomplish and just how much your life will be balanced. For more information about IMA, visit us on our website at www.internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Follow us by liking our page. We also want to give a shout-out to our founder and president of IMA, Ann McNeil. She is the master builder building masterminds.
Awesome. Go ahead,
Dee. Oh, I was going to tell Rufus to tell our listeners about our upcoming annual meeting. I'm just so excited about it.
Hey, listen up, ladies and gentlemen. This, you know,
you got to talk louder, Beatrice. Two people keep saying that they can't hear you when you're talking.
Listen up, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
However you have to get there, hum, bum, or thumb, you need to be there. You're going to get this mastermind off to a wonderful start. We're at the end of a year, but we're at the beginning of a new year. We've been blessed, those of us who are awake this morning and will be awake tomorrow. IMA's annual meeting of the minds will be on Friday, January 6th and Saturday, January 7th. And you don't want to miss it. You have to be there. This is the place to be, because you're going to be in a cocoon of folks who are thinking just like you're thinking and focused just like you're focusing on making their lives better. You know, say if misery loves company, come on, prosperity and success has to be an even more exciting place than the miserable place. And those of us who know about that and who are ready to move, you need to come on out and join an organized movement of moving to prosperity and success. And this event will be held at the Embassy Suites in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. The rooms are $109 per night, and the registration fee for the event is $75, including a continental breakfast and a lunch on Saturday. The IMA annual meeting is an opportunity for each of us to share our success and plan our goals for the new year. Friday night is a meet and greet, as well as our annual success tables. And that's exciting, because you really get to see folks lay out, you know, how they have progressed from point A to point B, where they presently stand. Members set up tables to display items such as books, pictures that tell the story of the annual accomplishments. Meet all of the published IMA authors on Friday night. IMA has 12 or more published authors. Now, today, one blessed listener will win a paid registration to the IMA annual meeting, so keep listening for your details, but you must be willing to show up in Boca Raton. You must be willing to, let me translate that, come down to Boca Raton, beautiful Florida, hang out with some folks who are actively doing what you say you want to do, partner, network, and prepare, and to launch out into 2012 shoulder to shoulder with some folks who are of a like mind. And we'll also be giving away some coaching sessions by Ann McNeil, the master builder, building masterminds. Remember, Success by Glenn Bland, The Method, and Raising Champions by yours truly. Listeners, please know that you can raise your hands to ask a question by pushing 1 on the phones before we start our book discussion.
Okay, Rufus, right quickly, we want to just clarify something about now that you said we're going to give away another thing. I guess we're going to have to honor that, but it's only for people who are not existing mastermind minders. You're not part of our organization. This would be someone who's new, been, they've joined us for this these calls. That's the only way you can win it. Other people can win the coaching session. They can win the Glenn Bland. It doesn't matter who you are, if you ask the right questions or you're the right person. First thing we're going to do, I'm taking a executive privilege here, as Ann McNeil would say, as the treasurer. I want Terry Williams out of Atlanta. You've been so faithful. You've been calling in. You were the first person that reached out to me to purchase your book and to follow us. We're going to give you a coaching session with Ann McNeil. So, Ann, I know you're on the line listening. Terry will be reaching out to you. So, Terry, I'll make a connection with you because I know you're really, she's already said her and her daughter have done vision boards before. She's interested in listening to us today to see how she can maybe possibly improve her vision board and just get some ideas from us. And she's been so faithful. So, Ann, you're going to have another person reaching out to you. Terry will send you the survey so you can do the IMA survey to really take a snapshot of what you have accomplished in your life this year. And remember, we mastermind in 10 areas, so it's going to ask you questions about everything from your savings to how much time you pray, how many books you read, how many doctor visits you've done, just everything, the whole gamut of your life. So, Ann, you've got one more person. So far you should have Sophia, Cheryl Lawson Wright, and now we're going to give it to Terry. So congratulations, Terry, and we hope that – we know you're going to get something out of it, but we just certainly hope that you enjoy it and you'll take advantage of spending some time with Ann McNeil. So now we're going to roll into our book discussion. Our man Rufus, are you ready? For those of you who have not joined us in the past, we're using the book Think and Grow Rich – The Original Version, Restored and Revised by Napoleon Hill, and we're in chapter, we're still in chapter 7, I think this is, let's see.
Correct.
It is still, yes, chapter 7, Organized Planning, and then if time permits, we're going to roll into our next chapter. I don't know if we're going to have time to go into, no, this is chapter, it's actually chapter 6, Organized Planning in this book. Rufus is 7 in your book. Decisions is number 7 in our book because you've got a slightly different version. So chapter number 6, Organized Planning, for those who bought the book that we've got, the version we have. And then if time permits, we're going to roll into chapter 7, which is Decisions. So because I'm not sure where we left off after we got cut off last week. I know we talked about the major causes for failure, and I think we talked about, what was it, the good habits of a good leader or something. So let's see, what are we going to start at today, Rufus?
Okay, what I want
to
do.
You're going to have to bring it up a notch because I can barely hear you.
What I would like to do as we go forward, and here's the thing that we want to remember. You know, I was reading an article and it says that, it was talking about book marketing, and it says that, you know, people don't buy books, people buy titles. So, and I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, that makes sense. And you look at the title of a book, I look at the books that I've written, and I look at the books that I've read, and I was looking through my my bookshelf, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, somebody tells you the title of a book, you read the title of a book, it catches your imagination and your mind, and it gives you basically the guts and the core, the heart of what this book, what a book or this book is about. So we talk about Think and Grow Rich. It's plain and simple. Think, and you use the thought process, and you grow rich. And straightforward. And simple. Everybody that I showed is, hey, man, you need to check this book out. Yeah, that seems like, yeah, I need to read that book right there. So it's simple and straightforward when we talk about that and we look at it. And you look as you flip through the pages, and if we follow the process, if, which is a small word, which actually is a huge word, it's small in appearance, but it's huge in effect. And if we follow the process, we can do some awesome things. Not just in terms of monetary gain or material gain, we can do some awesome things when in our lives, spiritually, mentally, physically, and the whole nine yards. So that's the challenge that we should issue to each of ourselves personally. And being with this group, the Mastermind group, you're gonna get some positive peer pressure as you move along and you publish your objectives with your Mastermind group and folks in the organization. So, you know, we were talking about organized planning, and planning is the key to everything. We talked about having the idea. We talked about that impulse, that divine impulse of the idea, that passionate faith that goes along with it. Then we move to the planning phase of it. And when we talk about the planning phase, you know, if you have an idea out there on the horizon, whether you're going to write a book, write a play, start an organization, start a business or anything like that, or start a mastermind organization, what you have to do is you have to, excuse me, script things out, lay them out so that you can actually see, generally speaking, the path that you have to take from where you presently are in thought mode to where you will be in fruition or manifestation mode when you reach your objective. Now, even in here, Napoleon Hill says, look, man, hey, you have an idea, you need to write down a plan. He even says, even if it's a bad plan, write it down. But at least you have a general idea and moving out in that direction. And as you move along and you crystallize the mastermind process, what's going to happen is your path is going to become more clear to you because you will start to align yourself with people who work in that industry or in that area of expertise or your mastermind, I am blessed to be with the Anointed Mastermind is with Angela M. Williams and Beatrice Lewis Saint, and trust me, they make me way smarter than I was. You understand what I'm saying? Plus, my wife on the backside, you know, she's back there propping me up and making me look good as well. I have an awesome mastermind, and I know that there's never a situation in my planning process. Like I had a problem with my book, I said the other week. Angela told me, do this, do this, do this. I did that. Beatrice gave me some advice. I did that, and had I not had that mastermind, I would have been scratching around in the dirt trying to figure it out. So they crystallized my planning process. So I took the things that they gave me, plugged them into my plan. You know, I keep it simple. I do a things to do list. I call it my easy planner. And what I do is I take a sheet of paper. And a lot of these things are simple, just like Beatrice was talking about with the sheet of paper and writing down your goals and your ideas. You keep a notebook that is designated for your mastermind or your future building. And you write those notes down. You have an idea. Oh, man, I got an idea for a new hubcap on a car. I do it like this. I have an idea for this, that, or the other. You write it down. And then because you don't have to rely on your memory because, you know, we're busy. We have lots of things to think about. If you have kids and you have a job that can be crazy at times, those great ideas will fly to your head and you won't get them back sometimes. You'll struggle to get them back. So why not just go ahead and write them down or put them in your smartphone or whether you type them in your smartphone or record them in your smartphone on the electric recorder and so you can get them later on. So you take Beatrice's plan when you write those things down and capture your notes and ideas, and then you bring it to the planning phase. What I do is I take a sheet of paper, notebook paper. I take one of those composition notebooks, and I write at the top of the page whatever this idea is, internet business. And, okay, internet business is to sell sock monkeys or whatever. And how do I sell sock monkeys on the internet? And I start writing down the bullets of things I need to do, just distribution. I need to get a domain name on the internet and what have you like that. So I have a general idea. And at the end of the page, it's like, make mad money. That's what I want to do, make big money. So, but then I'll sit at the table and say, hey, B and Angela, this is what I'm doing. I got this. And I say, nah, man, don't do that. You got to put this in there. You got to put that in there. Put this in there. So I leave space. Now I can introduce the things in my plan, the organized plan, that they have given me, and, you know, because they have experience also, that will crystallize and make my plan more streamlined and trim off the fat and the activities that will waste my time. So by doing that, I mean, you know, it takes me to a whole level. You know, in the book, you know, we were talking about, you know, I'm going to hit some of these subtitles, capitalism, and, you know, people not capitalism, but essentially what they were saying is capitalism is the American way. Capitalism is the cornerstone of America. And you look around you, you know, people frown on people making money or making large sums of money or what have you like that. But capitalism is a thing that basically floats America. It's everything that you have on, from the chair that you're sitting on, or if you're lying comfortably on your therapeutic or your sleep number bed, you know, somebody has to make that. Somebody has to make that. Somebody has to transport that. Somebody has to deliver that and set that up. So those folks are making money in this capitalist society. So, and even us, you know, Napoleon Hill said also that, you know, people think that they get paid for what they know. You don't get paid for what you know. You get paid for what you do with what you know. So
Rufus, I wanted to add something to that. I'm sorry to interrupt. I meet so many people that always say, you know what, I want to make a difference. I want to help kids. I want to help the elderly. I want to help the homeless. And they fail to, they forget that once you make a million or millions, you can change the world even more. Just look at what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has been able to do. Now, they're out of the stratosphere in terms of what they've been able to accomplish and the kinds of money that they've put into this foundation, and they are changing the world. But people forget sometimes, how am I going to accumulate the dollars in order to make the difference that I want to make? And so I'm not saying you can't do things, you can't volunteer and so forth, but you can have a larger impact with an idea, with a business, with an invention that allows you to have the freedom to do the kinds of things that you want to do that can impact our community.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what, B? We look at, I think, from a cultural perspective. You know, I'm an African American man in this nation. I've been there all my life, and from a cultural perspective, sometimes we think that it is sacrilegious to have large sums of money. But we look at people who have large sums of money, and in one instant we're like, man, that is good, I like that. And then we get this thought that comes through, and it's like, oh, I don't really need that kind of money. I. And so we misquote and say, you know, money is the root of all evil. And that's not what Scripture says. Scripture said that the love of money is the root of all evil. You've got to remember, money is an inanimate object. Money. I can take a dollar and buy a bale of marijuana or some drugs or an illegal weapon, or I can take that same dollar and turn it around and see a kid that's hungry or a family that's hungry and help put them in a house, help get a kid an education, get a child some medical care, start a business or something, or a vehicle to help someone. So, you know, as you said, if you look at Bill Gates, and oh, by the way, they got that nice little bump from Warren Buffett, you know what I mean? Just a little bit of money to help them do the things that they were doing anyway, you know what I mean? So, you know, we talk about, get beyond the capitalism, get around folks who are talking the talk that you want to talk and move in the direction, because the money is a tool, just like a wrench or a screwdriver. You know, we talk about opportunities, you know, in the midst of riches, you know, don't overlook the possibilities, you know, of a country whose citizens are rich. So this at the time he wrote this book, he said, you know, don't overlook the opportunities, the possibilities of a country whose citizens are so rich that women alone spend more than $500,000 annually for lipstick, rouge, and cosmetics. Now, that's $500,000 annually. That was back in 1937. Come on now, you know, a Max Factor, Estee Lauder and all those cosmetic companies are doing Avon and what's the pink car lady? Those folks, they're making bajillions, billions and billions of dollars. And so when you look at that, you say the opportunity is there. People are buying fish sandwiches. They're buying from McDonald's. They're buying from Burger King. Why not buy them from you if that's your thing, if you're into cooking or what have you like that? So, you know, we have to remember these things. You know, we look at the system, you know, it says the system denies no one this right, but it does not and cannot promise something for nothing. We talk about something for nothing. You know, I tell my students that all the time. You cannot get something for nothing. If you are, you know, dead set on being successful, turning your life around, turning your grades around. I tell adults, if you want to change your life, to do something. And here's the thing that you have to remember is this. As you move to change your life around, I know sometimes we have folks that are close to us. We call them dream thieves. But, you know, in reality, nobody can steal your dream, because there is someone out there who is willing to walk with you. And if there is not, you know, when we talk from a spiritual perspective, God is there to walk and hold your hand. So the thing is this. When you make up your mind and you make the decision and you set your plan for you to move forward, you're setting a plan from an individual perspective with the purpose of achieving something. And as you go along the way, as I've written in my new book, you have to remember that sometimes close relatives, spouses, friends, or what have you like that, they're too close to you when you begin to go on this journey and you launch your plan. So when you put the mastermind together, you don't have to necessarily pull in your spouse. Ideally, it would be great because you guys are masterminding to a degree anyway, but sometimes you're going to have to link up with other folks who are initially not as close to you so they can actually see the value and the vision of what you're doing. And you also have to remember that this is your vision. This is your dream. These are your aspirations. You know, T.D. Jakes said in the book, I believe, Brother Thou Loose, and he said, never let someone's omission or commission of something to hinder you from achieving what you desire to achieve. So next year, when we're on this call, as we prep to go into the annual meeting, you can't come to me or us or yourself and say, well, you know, I didn't do this. I ain't make that $1 million because Shirley said this and she wouldn't go along with that. Or I didn't do this because Henry said this and he didn't go along with that. You can't do that, because the deal is this. As one of my mentors told me, a gentleman by the name of Harry Harrell, he and Gary Torrance, they own the Tom Jenkins Barbecue in Fort Lauderdale, and he told me this. He said, Rufus, whatever it is that you are trying to begin, he said, just go ahead and start. Start it. He said, the world has told us that nobody's going to help us. He said, but that's not true. He says, all you have to do is start it, and people will come out of the woodwork to help you out. And I have found that to be true. As I wanted to improve my life and what have you, I remember the first time I met Ann McNeil, I was at PSN meeting, and she walked up to me and she said, hey, I got something that you'd be interested in. And then Nefreda said, in an amen kind of way, uh-huh, yeah, he'd be really good for this, right? And when she gave it to me, and I had read the book, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, oh, yeah, that's cool, that sounds, yeah, okay, I can work this. And sure enough, it did, and that's how I came upon Angela and Beatrice. Okay, so they understood my kind of crazy, you know, my kind of out of the box and the whole nine yards. So you can't credibly say that you couldn't have done what you plan to do. All you have to do is start to do it. Like the song says, ain't nothing to it but to do it. And help is going to come along. You know, do we have any hands raised on this?
We don't, but I do want to make a couple shout-outs. I'm not sure, but Rachel Moore is listening to us. Rachel, thank you. Welcome to our weekly Blog Talk Radio. And she's already posted out there that she's listening to an awesome conversation with the three of us. So thank you, Rachel. We appreciate your leadership. Nikki Blakely, thank you for joining us this morning. Glad you're up. She was out of town for a couple of weeks, but she's back and she's listening to us. Then Nikki also wants you to know that the pink lady is Mary Kay. Mary Kay sells millions of dollars of cosmetics every year. And then Lauren Francis Nance, that's our friend. And I think she's in New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. Lauren, you can post to me if that's wrong. She's been with us just about every morning since we've been hosting. And this is the lady, again, Rufus and Beatrice, who really stumbled up on our phone call because she was on someone else's page, and she wanted to know what makes us different from everybody else. So apparently she likes our difference because she keeps coming on listening to us, and she wanted to know it, so I'm going to throw this out there. She says, I'm purchasing an electronic version of Napoleon Hill's book. There are several. Is there a difference or preference as to what version to get? So I just gave her the ISBN of the book that we use, and you can then ask the if it's Barnes & Noble or Amazon, do they have this book as an e-book? It might have a different ISBN number because it'll be called an e-ISBN number, but if you ask them for the book ISBN number, then they will get you the equivalent to the e-book in that version. So, Lauren, thank you again for being with us. Our good friend, Aretha Dennis, who's a masterminder, we thank you so much. Our switchboard has we've got a couple hands up. So, Rufus, you must have inspired someone to raise their hand. So we're going to start taking our calls. We're going to start with the caller from the 305 area code, and his or her last four numbers are 1195. Caller, you're on the air. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Angela. Wow, I'm listening into a great call this morning. I'm Rachel Moore. You know, you guys were saying just on Facebook, like, hey, I'm in the queue. You guys don't see me? Listen.
I'm Rachel. Welcome to the
show. I'm giving you a
shout
out on Facebook. I'm like, yo, I'm in the queue.
You're in the queue. I don't know your phone number. See, once I know your phone number, then I'll know you're in the queue.
Hey,
girl, well,
thank
you for listening to us and giving us a shout out on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, we're posting and reposting and tweeting and retweeting and getting the word out about your call. I just wanted to jump in and just add to your conversation about organized planning, and just to all of our listeners that are listening now and all the listeners that we'll be listening in on archive, just to understand, especially at this time of year, how important it is to just sit down and put that time in and do some of your planning. And you're hearing from a person who's done very well, just kind of haphazardly, just kind of winging it out here. And I'm not a very efficient planner, and I try, and I don't stay consistent, and I try to journal, and I don't stay consistent. And so, of course, for the new year, I'm working on getting disciplined and really, really laying out a plan, no matter how detailed it is, no matter how clear it is, just something to get started with, because like Rufus was saying, it will grow and develop as you, you know, get on your way. And so I just wanted to encourage everybody to really understand that if you have a dream, and if you're going after it, whatever it may be, a dream, an idea, something that you're trying to develop, and you're not going to sit down and put a little plan together, then I guess I better say what's appropriate, which is good luck. Because if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a plan, then you must be depending on luck to make this thing, make whatever it is you're up to come together. So I look forward to seeing you guys at the event, at the yearly this year.
Angela,
and of course,
awesome.
Yeah, I'll be at the annual, and of course, my report is going to be half done as usual. But I want people to understand, man, still, you know, and that's not something I'm necessarily proud of, but still putting something together. I want to share this. You know, I got involved, I got really a little more committed this summer and got involved with a group and started participating, trying to put together a mid-year report and trying to, you know, go through my survey and get everything going. And they were having a call every morning where we would get on and go through our affirmations and things of that nature. And I want to be clear that, you know, I did my affirmation. I kind of put together a piece of a report, and I would get on every now and again. I mean, I wasn't even fully, fully committed to that call every morning. Like, I would get on if I was up, or I would get on if I would remember, if I remembered. But, man, just doing that, just doing something towards it, I still got amazing results coming through, the end of the year. And it took for me to start getting results, start seeing some of the things I was trying to do come together. And then it wasn't until a couple months into that I realized, wait a minute, this is what some of the things I was saying in my affirmations and in my, my half step in type of approach to my masterminding. And so I'm very excited this year about, you know, getting more committed, getting, you know, getting to where I'm at least three quarter step in. You know, I'm getting better at it. And you know, those of you guys that have been masterminding for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you know how to map this stuff out. You know how to put together a clear report. You know how to evaluate what you got through last year and what you're going to look at this. You know, you've gotten good at it. It's really an inspiration to those of us that are starting out, that are poor planners, that, you know, are not getting, you know, not getting our things down, where we can actually see our goals, our visions, our ideas right there in front of us. Just coming to the annual, seeing other people present amazing, well-put-together reports where they're literally planning out their lives, it's an inspiration. And so I look forward to meeting you guys and seeing you guys again, and really it's just an exciting thing to do at the beginning of the year.
Well, Rachel, we're excited. You just pumped everybody up. People are posting on Facebook. Thank you. And what you said is you're going to be riding on luck if that's all, if you don't make a plan, because there's that saying that if you fail to plan, then you're planning to fail. So even if you do it, what you say, Rachel, half of the way, you'll see some great results. So imagine what three-fourths is going to bring you this year, and then what the whole thing will bring you the following year. So we're looking forward to meeting you next next weekend at the annual meeting, and we're just really, what group do you belong to? What mastermind group are you a part of?
I'm a part of Mega Minds. We actually will be, at the door welcoming everyone when they come in next week. We'll be
so
there at
the
welcome
Yolanda
table.
So you're with Yolanda English.
Exactly.
All right, awesome. So say it again, Mega Minders?
No, Mega Minds.
Mega Minds. Well, congratulations. I like that. Awesome. So thank you so much. I see we got another hand, but we got a couple of shout-outs that we're going to be taking. Stay on the line. Continue to listen, and we're going to take a couple more people. Thank you so much, Rachel.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. We got a shout-out from Houghton. Go ahead, Beatrice. Were you going to
actually, I was just so excited to hear what she said. I had a similar experience at work where we do a retreat annually as a staff, and what we did is we did 8 pages of things that we wanted to accomplish, and we didn't look at the items every week, every month, and so forth. We probably one time during the year did a recap, but this year when we got back as a staff, I looked at that list. I would say 90% of the things that we wrote down got accomplished. And people forget the power of writing things down and how it really seeps into your subconscious, that is, and you really get things done. What gets written down gets done. And as you said, it's just the idea of starting somewhere. And you'd be surprised how much you could accomplish if you put these ideas, to fruition, and you begin to work on it. These concepts do work if you work them.
Awesome. So true. We want to give a shout-out to Dr. Betty Knighton. Betty's listening in tonight, and she's on our page giving out good advice, as she always does. Thank you, Dr. Betty Knighton, from the Life Planners of West Palm Beach. We appreciate you listening in to us this morning. And then we've got Stacey Virgo, who's been a faithful listener for the past few weeks, and she's not only giving us a shout out, but she's reposting that we're on the line and talking about us, trying to get other people out there. So definitely, she's answering, how can someone become a part of this powerful group? Well, Stacey, you can't become a member of our group. We're a powerful group, but we have like 3 people now who are interested in starting a group. So Stacey, I'll throw your name in with the other 3, and we'll get a phone call going and see if we can bring you guys together as a group or help you form your own group. Because remember, you want to have a group where people are kindred and like spirits, people you can get along with, but also you don't want people all doing the same thing. So you don't want all coaches or all lawyers or all teachers. You want to have a very diverse group so that you guys can benefit from each other's strengths. So Stacey, just keep listening and stay tuned. We're going to talk about getting some new groups started so that you guys can become members of International Mastermind. All right, we've got, looks like, the founder and president of IMA, Mrs. Ann McNeil. Ann, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives and masterminders. And I tell you, between Rufus and Beatrice, Angela and Rachel, I really should not have very much to say, but I'm so glad I went after Rachel. My question that I have this morning, and you're doing a wonderful job, I'm not sure, did we discuss at all page 133, the self-analysis questionnaire for personal
that's
inventory?
We haven't, but that's the page I'm on. I was going to stop right there when we got through doing the shout-out because it goes so hand-in-hand with our survey that we do. I have it open right here. Take inventory of yourself. 28 questions you should answer. Right here, Ann. Great minds.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody, we will see you next Friday night, if possible, but definitely next Saturday at our annual meeting in beautiful, sunny Boca Raton, Florida at the Embassy Suites. Thank you all.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So, Rufus, I'm not sure what page it is on your copy of your
107. I have
okay.
Mine is at 107. Hopefully Rufus and I have the same copy.
You guys do. So it's take inventory of yourself. And this is similar to what we do with our annual survey. So why don't we pick some questions and go through this or read some questions. Beatrice, Rufus, either one of you want to get started.
Well, number one, it says, have I attained the goal which I established as my objective for this year? Remember, we're masterminding in 10 areas, and sometimes different areas of your life definitely gets more attention. But, for example, I consciously made my family a priority, and my youngest sister, Naomi, the top priority this year. But everybody knows I'm very focused on work, and I always find that I probably accomplish more at work than I do everywhere else, but I need to have that balance, and so that's why I had to consciously decide my family would be number one, but in particularly my sister. Number two says, have I delivered service of the best possible quality of which I was capable or could have improved any part of this service? One of the things we really ask our masterminders to do is to not only have a J-O-B, but to have a business. We can no longer count on these jobs. We have to find a way to create wealth outside of working for someone. And nothing allows you to keep customers, to grow your business, than quality service. We have to give more than what we're paid for. Number three says, have I
delivered...
Wait a
minute, before you move on past that, that's what our good friend and our speaking coach, Dr. Kenny Dupree, says, give people more than they pay for, and they'll always bring you back or they'll always use your service again. So for those of you who are business owners, and we have several business owners on the call this morning or entrepreneurs, remember that. Don't just give people what they paid you for. If you give them more, if you're looking to schedule business with them and repeat business with them, give them more than they paid for, and they'll bring you back. When you only give people what they paid for, and it shows in your work and your attitude, then they'll use you that time, but they'll look for someone else the next time.
Yeah. So, you know what else speaks to me, Angela? Number five, have I permitted the habit of procrastination to decrease my efficiency, and if so, to what extent? Oh, my God. Why do we all procrastinate? And I'm guilty of it as well, okay?
We and I both. We've talked about this several times. We've even read articles on how to stop procrastinating and the whole nine yards. So, yes, we got to get past procrastination.
Have to do the difficult and the tough stuff, the challenging stuff first. That's a really great habit to really get out of this procrastination. And number seven, have I been persistent in following my plans through completion? We all have to have that spirit of completion. Finish what you start. I mean, that is part of the challenge, but if we all decide this is the goal and I am going to stick with it and I am going to complete it, we would all be so much further ahead if we can finish what we start.
Before you go on, I want to go back to number six. I did this one this year. Have you improved your personality personality? And if so, in what ways? People work better with, people do business with, as my friend Walisa Aquil would say, with people they like. And her name of her business is Grace and Charm. I went through the Grace and Charm success system earlier this year because I wanted to work on my rough edges. I didn't want to seem so direct or some people would say mean. I wanted people to, because I'm really a friendly person, but because of the, I'm a serious, let's go get it done kind of person, it's my, I'm a leader by nature, people sometimes can perceive that in a negative way. So I didn't want that. I wanted people to see me in the true sense of who I am. So you got to work on things that your personality, you know, who you are, because you want people to you know, there's a saying, you, people have to respect you. They don't have to really necessarily like you, but it's changing. People want to like you and respect you. So I, that's what I did to make my personality better this year. I went through the Success, Grace, and Charm School with Walisa Aquil. Before we move on to the next one with Rufus, Rufus, get yours ready. We've got a caller, and she's calling from the 202 area code. 2210 is the last four numbers of your phone number. Caller, are you on the air? Hello? Maybe they didn't mean to, because as soon as I put them on the air, they hung up. All right, so Rufus, you want to let us know which one of these sticks out to you for taking inventory of yourself?
All of them, you know what I mean? You know, Rufus
got to speak up.
I said, you know, I said all of them. You know, when we look at this, the thing that we need to do is, and the thing that prevents us from doing it is exactly what we are, the hurdle that we're trying to get over. And we're talking about consistency, persistence. We're talking about procrastination is a monster that I think that all of us wrestle with. And the thing is that we are...
Rufus,
creatures.
You're fading out. We can't
we
hear
are,
you. Cause I can hear, barely hear you.
We are creatures of habit. And being creatures of habit, we have a tendency... We fall into these ruts, be they good or bad. Our eating habits, our exercise or lack of exercise habits, our money habits, or what have you like that. Because so essentially what we're trying to do is, like we say in the military and artillery, we talk about lift and shift. When you're shooting a big gun and you need to acquire another target, you have to lift the gun barrel and shift it over to where you need to be shooting and continue to shoot. So that's essentially what we have to do. And when we look at this, the thing I was going to say that would be beneficial is that if, as you plan and you move forward and you review your goals, to be able to photocopy this and put this in your manual. I mean, I carry this book with me pretty much everywhere I go, so it's beat to death. But to copy this inventory manual, self-analyze, and put this in your journal or what have you, or if you have the time to type it, you can type it into your phone or type it into whatever. Put it out in the cloud. Type it in Word and send it to yourself via email, or cut and paste it into an email, so you can send it to yourself, and then you just go and you check it once a week. You say, all right, I need to improve Rufus. Let me look at one through, you know, and don't beat yourself up, you know, because if you read this and you do this self-analyzing process, you know, at the end of the day, you may say, hey, I don't really like this person that much because this person is jacked up, jive, and not where they're hanging out with. But that's not true. I mean, we all have flashes of brilliance. So this would help us to crystallize what we're trying to do and improving ourselves. You know, I look at what Angela says, you know, trying to improve ourselves. I had a friend of mine says, I said, I want my son to be better than me. And he says, I want my son to be like me. I'm okay. And I was like, that's part of your problem right there. That's it. We can always improve. So the thing that we need to do is actually look at the man in the mirror. Look at the man or woman in the mirror and make the necessary adjustments. And this because this whole, which one? All of them to me, really, when it comes to me, because I want to be better, but we need to be constantly in the thought process so that we can have this thing locked up and locked in.
Well, thank you, Rufus, for that. I wanted to just share one other thing in terms of this self-analyzing is number 19. Have I followed the habit of budgeting my time, my expenses, my income, and have I been conservative in these budgets? These are some challenging times for a lot of us financially, and so time is money, and many of us are not necessarily making the best decisions about what we do with our time nor what we do with our money. So let's make the commitment to do both, to really be conservative with our time, spend more time working on yourself than, wasting time. I know one of the commitments I've made this year, beginning tomorrow, right, is to watch a little bit less sports and do a lot more reading, okay, and also buy a little bit less Starbucks and get a coffee maker because those dollars do add up, and that number 19 really spoke to me because there are a lot of things I can improve in terms of my time, my income, my resources. What am I spending my time on? Because my mom always says, what's important, that's what you're going to spend most of your time on and most of your money on, what you love. So if we're focused on reaching our goals, we have to make certain that we're spending the time working on ourselves and analyzing what are our weaknesses, what are our strengths, and what can we do better as we move towards a balanced, an accomplished, and a great life.
Well, Beatrice, I want to say this because my pastor always says that as well. He says, if you want to know what's really true and dear to your heart, just take your checkbook or your bank statements and run down them and see where you spent the most money on. And if you want to know where your money went, do the same thing. And if you spend more money on things like going out to dinner and buying new clothes and, like you said, Starbucks, than you do on reading material, what's the guy name that does the Walter Hamilton comes to PSN every year to our graduation ceremony, and he does his speech. But Walter tells a story about when he started talking about going into ministry, his pastor said to him, when your library, the value of your library exceeds the value of your wardrobe, come back and talk to me. Until then, don't come back. Because he says, you've got to read. And I know the lady told me a few months ago when we were doing the books on reading for the girls that readers become leaders. So we have to read. So if you're investing more money in Starbucks and clothes, and ladies, I know y'all love y'all shoes, then you are in your library or education programs, seminars, then you've got your priorities mixed up. You got to get your priorities mixed up. And, yes, we mastermind in 10 areas, so I'm going to just put it out there, and please don't nobody send me no remarks. And if you ain't giving no money to God, don't think you're going to be successful, because until you start giving God some money, honey, God going to hold his money from you, because if he can't get no money through you, he's not going to get no money to you. So if you're not giving to charities and you're not giving to the church, forget it anyway. It's like the other lady, just keep striving on luck, because that's what you're going to need is luck. If you want to be blessed, God has a success plan already. And he said, if you obey his word and walk therein, he says, not only will you make your way prosperous, but you'll also have good success. So that's the Angela Williams spiritual nugget for the day. How about that?
Okay. I love it.
All right, then. Hold on. I have one that I wanted to share, guys, before I got on my pulpit. So I'm down off the pulpit now. And it was, we talked about budgeting. I think it was up before that. Yes. Have you been open-minded and tolerant in connections with all subjects? In this case, I'm going to say with all the people you meet, all the areas we mastermind in, you got to be open-minded. If you have a closed mind about this, you will not be successful in not only masterminding, but you won't be successful in life if your mind is closed. Or my dad would say, if you have a narrow mind, and he said, if your mind is as small as the eye of the needle, you will not go far in life.
Mm. Yeah. I believe that as well. We have to be open-minded. And some people think, wow, does this really work? I've heard this before. What type of psychology is this? I mean, it's really simple, you know, making a plan, focusing on it, staying positive, having people who care about you, who can help you achieve your goals as your accountability partners. It's, you know, it sounds simple, but it does work if you work it.
That's it.
Yeah,
if you plan the work and then you work the plan, it works.
I looked at all of, you know, the thing that really speaks and jumps out to me, and it says, I guess there are two sides of the same coin. It says, number 10 says, have I been either overcautious or undercautious? And when we have these impulses, you know, Michael Jackson, when I heard him in a documentary, he was talking about how, you know, God gives him this music, and he has these ideas. And one of the reasons why he did not sleep a lot at night is because he took the ideas that God had given to him for song, and he wouldn't go to sleep until he pretty much knocked them out. You know what I mean? So that led to, you know, him having these crazy habits that he had. You know, so when we're given an impulse or an idea, you need to jump on it. I had an idea back in August. It's a great idea, and it's still a great idea. I checked the internet, and the idea was, this has happened to me two times in the last 8 months. The idea was a great idea. I dragged my feet about moving forward the idea. I eventually moved forward the idea, and I didn't do first things first. Lock down the domain that's tied to the idea. And when I went back a week or two later, it was gone. And that happened twice. And so we need to not be overcautious. When you have an idea, when you lay it out and you put the plan down, it's going to flesh out whether or not you don't have to be cautious, and you just don't need to dive into something without proper planning and advice as you go forward. And also, to me, the other side of that the other side of that coin is number 26. Am I in the right vocation? And if not, why not? If you're not where you belong, even your greatest success compared to where you should be would be below failure in a place where you ought to be. Your greatest success, you know, I tell folks all the time, I say, look, you can put as much sugar as you want to in strychnine. It's still poison. You know, folks down in the Jim Jones massacre, they drank the Kool-Aid, and you're drinking that Kool-Aid, and it's still going to kill you. You're dying a slow death. You have to live this life. You might as well put yourself in position. Not Rufus didn't say, go ahead and quit your job today, because Rufus can't take care of y'all. Rufus said what you need to do, and if you're in a place where you're frustrated, just start thinking about where you want to be. Laying the plan out, doing the research, get on the internet, read the newspaper, buy a book. If you won't read, you can't lead. And you're not an ineffective leader if you're not a reader. And start giving the idea or your destiny or your desire some space. Give it some juice. Give it some attention, and give it some space to grow, and start talking to some other people. And you'd be surprised how your feelings about your present position will change, because you've taken that energy and you've moved it somewhere else. And you're going to go and you're going to give them a solid 8. You're going to give them a solid 8 because that's who you are. You're not going to have an attitude. Matter of fact, you're going to be nicer to the people that you don't even like, because you know that, guess what? He said, how long? Not long. You ain't going to be here long, because you're working on doing something else.
And okay, we got somebody's hand just up, so we want to take the mic because we want to talk about vision boards from about 9 to 9:15, and then we're going to be signing off the day. But Rufus wants to thank you for the recommendation about going and buying your domain name. I know he already has one name. I mean, Adrian wants to thank you, Rufus. I'm not sure what the new name Adrian's going to buy, but Adrian, go get your domain name today. Let's bring in our caller from 786, and your last four numbers are 1319. Caller, can you hear us? Hello? 786-1319.
Good morning, okay. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. This is Nefreda. How are you, Angela, Russell, San Beatrice?
Good morning, Nefreda. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I just wanted to call and chime in and tell you all that you all are doing such a wonderful job. From this end, it is excellent to hear the comments and the energy coming from you all, and a happy new life to everybody. I am excited about 2012, as I am about every year that God has graced me to do it again. So whatever you did not get to do in 2011, make plans to do it in 2012. Call it your new life, not just your new year. And I am just excited and re-energized with all of the excitement that is on this call this morning between the three of you. You all are really a wonderful group, and I think together, collectively, you all have shown what it really means to mastermind with a successful group. So thank you all so much for being willing to share with us all of these items. I really, really do appreciate it. You are a true blessing to this organization and to all of the things that we are in the process of doing. I also want to ask that you all would mention the process of paying again, about those people who are listening now who may want to be a part of the annual meeting for the first time, visitors, if they would go to our Eventbrite, and you can also register and pay online to be a part. So if you all can give some other information about that again,
You got the floor, Nefreda. Tell them where, give them the website, tell them where to go, how to pay.
It is our website, but we're also on Eventbrite. Under IMA, International Mastermind Association, and you may, when you go on Eventbrite, you'll be able to pay for whatever level you like if you're a member, and there also is a section there for guests. So please visit us there if you are listening to us today and would like to participate. I am almost positive that our wonderful host, Angela, will make mention of it again prior to ending the call after the vision board process, which I'm excited to hear about. So all of you, again, thank you all so very much. And I am a part of Generations, and also I am also a part of Call to Conquer, and I've been masterminding for about 20 years.
I was going to ask you to tell them how long you've been masterminding. So you answered that question, 20 years. Nefreda's actually our vice president of IMA, and she's the group leader for Call to Conquer. So, Nefreda, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. I know you've been listening, you know, during the month that we've been on, just to always raise your hand. Appreciate your support. And look forward to seeing you on next weekend at the Embassy Suites.
Yes, I am excited about that meeting. It's going to be wonderful, wonderful way to start the year and to give you the energy that you need, not just, and what I love about our organization, we don't just make New Year's resolutions. We make new resolutions for our lives for the year. So I like that about us, and it has been consistent with most of us. And again, like Rachel explained earlier, it is a process, and you've got to be committed to the process, but you don't do it overnight. So as overwhelming as a lot of this may sound to our listeners, we do want you to realize that we do understand it's a process, and I've been doing it for 20 years, and trust me, I am still learning so very much. Even sitting here today listening to these energetic people, I am still learning quite a bit. So it is a process. Please don't be afraid of what all you hear, what they've accomplished. It has taken some time for Rufus to get where he is, for Angela to get where she is, and Beatrice as well. So it is a process that we all will take time to help you get to. So again, thank you all for this time, and you all have a wonderful and blessed day, and I will see all of you on next Saturday, Life Last, God willing.
Sounds good, Nefreda. Thank you so much. We're going to do like one or two things. We want to give a shout-out to Vicky Antonio. Vicky, thank you for listening this morning. I think I already gave a shout-out to Nikki Blakely. Nikki, stop texting me and hit the button and raise your hand. She's texting me. She's in agreement. She's yelling at you guys. B, she agrees with something you said. Somebody mentioned multiple income streams. I think that was B. She's on with that one. She's just loving the conversation. but she's texting it all to me, and I'm trying to read it and look at it. So thank you, Nikki, for listening. All right, we're going to get into our vision board. We're going to, everyone else, if you just hold tight, give us about 10 to 12 minutes. Let's talk about vision boards this morning so we can get you through that. Again, those of you who did not get the information from last week, we sent it out to, I think, three different people, asked for all the stuff that we mentioned on last week's calls. If you inbox me, we will be more than happy to send you all of the information on Vision Board and all the articles that B gathered for us last week, and we'll be more than happy to email them to you so you can have them in your possession. So, Beatrice, why don't you lead us into talking about why a vision board and how to make a vision board or what a vision board is, and then we'll talk about how. Talk about why and then what a vision board is, why we should have them, what it is, and then we'll talk about how to create a vision board and some of the things they can use to make a really nice vision board.
Okay, well, you know, seeing is believing. You got to see it to believe it, and you have to see it often. So simply, a vision board is a tool to help clarify, concentrate, and maintain focus on your life's goals, what you want to do. A vision board is also called a dream board. It's a collage of words, and remember a few weeks ago we talked about affirmations, affirming what we want, affirming ourselves, who we want to be, the goals that we would like, what we would like to accomplish. So you can have those words as part of the vision board as well. And the use of pictures depicting your dreams and goals. So, for example, on my vision board, I put a dream house on there, but I only put a dream house on there about 2 weeks ago, and I've been trying to bid on the same house, and believe it or not, after I put my house on the board, they called me and said, hey, the house is back on the market, okay? So let's pray the third time is a charm, okay? It does work. I have pictures of family. I have words that are really important to me, living your best life. You know, a lot of people say, when did this come about? Why are people creating vision boards? Well, the book many of you have heard about, The Secret, that's become world famous, they talk about vision boards and setting them and how it helps you to achieve your goals and your dreams. You got to keep your vision board close where you can see it every day because it becomes a constant reminder of what you're working towards. And dream big, the biggest house, you know, if it's dollars, you know, that you want to put on there. You know, representing health, I have, you know, I think it's Ebony or Essence every year does this this session on or stories on, you know, ask how old these people are. So they might be a 70-year-old woman that looks about 40, and she's got, you know, some muscles and so forth. So I have a picture of that woman on my vision board because I want to maintain a healthy lifestyle, and it reminds me every day to eat well and take my vitamins and so forth. So being able to just look at that every day helps me to really stay very focused on what I want out of life. You got to see it. You got to see it. You got to see it. You know, we're very busy. We're bombarded sometimes by negativity. We can become distracted. So a vision board allows you to just clarify. It reinforces your dreams, your affirmations, you know, just keeping you focused on your intentions. And so if you don't have a vision board, I highly, highly recommend it. You could also have one with family. So you've got a family vision board. You have an individual vision board. But, you know, I have mine in my bathroom because I see it every morning. So it's there for me to look at it. So it's one of the first things that I see. This is what I want. This is, I see it. I see it every single day. These are my goals, and I'm working towards it every single day.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, Rufus, why don't you share with the listeners about what things you can use to create your vision board, things they can start gathering to do a vision board?
Hey, well, you know, The thing that we talk about, that vision board, the vision board is a, you know, it's a visual representation of where you're trying to go. Especially those of us, you know, we like to read, or we read a lot, or we don't
we don't do well with, and it gives your mind a break from having to read, so you can just look at it. You say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and when you look at that, it kind of short circuits that process of where sometimes you don't have time to read your goals all the way or what have you like that. So you just look at your vision board, and it has, you know, the map to your treasures. In a lot of the old books, like Robert Collier's Riches Within Your Reach, or you look at a lot of old books like The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Waddles, Riches Within Your Reach by Collier. Also, when you look at, they call it treasure mapping. That's what they used to call it, and which we talk about vision board. And you're absolutely right, Beatrice, when you say that, you know, I mean, looking at this thing, yeah, it's not exactly what you maybe envision. Sometimes it is. You can get a picture of what it is. Hey, sometimes if you have that house in mind or that car, you need to go ahead and you need to take that picture. You know, in my wallet, I printed a copy of a $1 million bill. And I photocopied it, folded it nice and neat. I put it in my my wallet. So sometimes my students or other people will say, hey, what is that? I said, that's a $1 million bill. Why do you have that? I say, look, we don't like to be surprised. So I'm thinking my wallet is an extension of me, and so I don't want my wallet to be surprised. I have to get my wallet accustomed to holding $1 million. So, you know, I'm letting it practice with this $1 million bill that I printed out, and I just keep it in there. And in one day, it's going to be replaced with millions of dollars from somewhere else. So when we talk about that vision board, we talk about the power of the picture of the whole nine yards. What I want you to do is look back over your life. When we think about vision boards, you think about how strong an idea is. Think about how strong an idea gets when you see something, a visual representation of it. Now you think about the audible representation when somebody's telling you you're talking about it. But look at when you see something, when you see that dress, or you see that person living that life. When you're driving to work and you see those small private aircraft flying over your head and you say, man, I wonder where they're going and how did they get to where they are? Or you see the big houses, how do those people get in that house or what have you like that? My motto with my company, B-Roll Productions, is with RufusCurryJr.com, my speaking is see it, say it, believe it, be it. If you can't see it, it ain't going to happen. If you cannot see it in your head or a physical representation of it, it's not going to happen. Because even if you're inventing something that doesn't exist right now, you have to see it. You have to have an idea. So the vision board takes the load off of your mind of having to create something. And actually, sometimes if you're working on improving something, I created a device that improved something. But what I had to do is I had to just sit down and look at the problem, and the visual representation helped me look at this problem. I can walk around it in three dimensions in my mind, and I came up with a way to improve a product. So that vision board is, I mean, it's like dynamite, to use a cheesy word, but it is. It's just like that.
Well, I want to talk about some of the things you can use to create your vision board. You're definitely going to need a lot of magazines if you're going to do vision board, magazines, postcards, things that have inspired you. You could go to your computer and create powerful words to put on your vision board, but I personally prefer a cork board because you can change it out. You can press the push pins in. I don't like the poster boards because you don't want to put tape on them and tear them and rip them. But with a good poster, with a good cork board, you get you some push pins or some tacks. You can put the stuff on your vision board, put it down, and then that way you can take it off. My vision board is a revolving image, One section is for health, and on there I change the section a lot because I get Prevention Magazine. Now, the one page, they had Michelle Obama on the front of it in November 2009. Well, I just want y'all to know she remains on there, but I've got other prevention front covers and articles on eating, how to turn your health around, even a fitness revolution they did for the plus-size woman. There was another article, and I think it was in Essence, about you are what you eat. And I believe it's Essence because I get Essence exactly. So there's another one. I want a bigger house because I have a villa, but I want a single-family dwelling, and I want it to be really big and nice. And the focal point of the picture of this house has a kitchen because I like to cook, and it has a island that is big enough that there's chairs on the other side so people can sit and chit-chat with me while I'm cooking, and it's open up to the great room or the family room so that other people can sit up and talk. So your vision board, I take pictures, I use Oprah's magazine, I use Good Housekeeping, Find If You Want a Home. I actually have a picture of money, Rufus, on my thing. I mean, real dollar bills. I've got a picture of someone that's opening their wallet and there's lots of money in there. I got an invitation to go to a money wealth building. It was saying, my money working for me. I kept that. I love that. It stays on my vision board. There's an article, Financial Planning and Investing. So that reminds me. And then I have a sign that I created myself in green, bold green letters. Says dollars and cents. Managing my wealth $1 at a time. I created that myself. Then it says my vision board, what you see is what you get. I did that myself. So I made some signs that I put on my vision board and tacked them up there. If you can see it, you can achieve it. That's one of my own that I put up there. So, you know, good food. I have oatmeal on my board because that's a good meal to have in the morning. It's good for your health, lowers your cholesterol. It gets you going. So different things. So you have to, and mine is almost like, let me see, one, two. And I have a picture of a seven-day cruise because I've done some cruises, but I want to do a really long cruise. I always have a section for vacation to remind me that we mastermind 10 areas for recreation, taking care of yourself, getting away from, you know, just not taking care of ourselves. We health is our whole area that we're going to be concentrating on in 2012, but one of the things that we have to do that is really healthy for us is rest and relaxation. So I just created that one because I'm getting ready to add, because I just went through a vision board experience in August and September. I had a vision board since 2008, but I updated it, but I just actually created two new powerful words, rest and relaxation, as we're looking to 2012 as we focus in on health. But part of being healthy is taking care of yourself, doing things that are relaxing, laying down, getting enough sleep, drinking enough water. Water is a lifeline to life itself, so I have that on my new vision board. Amy Neal wants to remind us is that please bring your vision board if you're coming to the annual meeting and put them on display. We do that just about every year. People bring their vision board so other people can see their vision board. So we definitely want you, if you have one, Vicky, I know you have a vision board. If you're coming, please bring your board because she just hosted a vision board party a couple of weeks ago. So vision boards are very important, and your vision board should be a representation of the goals that you have set. Books, if you're going to be an author, put some books on there. Then go cut out the go to the New York Times bestseller list or make your own sign that says that, and then add your book to the list. So then maybe take two or three of your books, create that, and put two or three of your books that you have on that list so that you can see that that your book is going to be successful. Another one of your speaker out there, I have a picture of myself speaking in front of large audience because that's one of my goals, is to speak in front of a large audience. So take your vision, that your goals, and then find things that represent that. And then my board is actually in sections. So I've got all my money pictures together, my home pictures together, my vacation pictures together, girl and her pearls things together, health and wellness together, recreation. So that's how my board is laid out. You can lay your board out any kind of way you want, use lots of bold colors, print them off, and anything you want to do by hand. If you're a creative person, you want to do something by hand, by writing something, do it. If you're looking to publish new magazines or new newsletters, go ahead and create a newsletter template of what your newsletter is going to be called and put that on your board as a reminder to get the newsletter done. So there's just so many ways. And now we've got people on the phone. If you have a vision board and you have ideas on how to make your vision board better or things that you've done, please feel free to raise your hand and tell us about what you would like, you know, what things you've done and things you've used, different things you've used to make your vision board. Or if you have a vision board question, this is the time that you can ask us. So we've got about 9 minutes, and we know we've got about 4 minutes of shutdown. So go ahead, Rufus.
Hey, Angela, I was going to say now, hey, all right, we're coming to the annual to share our vision boards now, hey. I want y'all to look at them vision boards real hard, because I know some aspects of your vision are not for public consumption. So we need to clean that vision board up. It is a family event, so you keep that man or that woman that's in your near future or whatever their representation. Let's keep these vision boards family-oriented.
We're hoping that all of our people are family-oriented people, so you guys get it. All right, anybody, this is the point. You can raise your hand. Nikki, I see your comment. She told me to stop putting her out on display, but that's my friend, so I can do that. All right, so anybody have any questions or comments? And don't forget, if you want the articles that we gave out last week about vision boards, hit us up on our IMA page or hit me up on my page, and I'll be more than happy to send it out to you. Some of the people that have been listening week after week, this is your opportunity as we're winding it down if you want to share your thoughts. Again, we will be hosting the IMA Blog Talk Radio call again next Saturday live from the annual meeting. We're going to be interviewing people. Cheryl Lawson, right, get prepared. We'll probably want to do a quick interview with you before the conference start, because you've been a faithful listener to the call each week. You're going to be attending the conference next week, so we definitely want to get you in the interview next week. So if anybody is on the call that wants to say something, please, let's raise your hand now, press 1 on your phone, and we'll take your call, and we'll acknowledge you and answer your question, or just if you want to make a comment, this will be a great time to do so. Okay, so we want to go ahead also and talk about the articles that we sent out last week for people was, the Persistence of Vision article. That's a really, really great article. And Why Leaders Fail. Beatrice gave us one on that one. How to Make a Vision Board, What a Vision Board Is. And then our books to read. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes on books to read, because readers are what are leaders. So if you're looking to really become a leader, and that even means a leader in your business, you know, as an entrepreneur, you've got to be a leader to be an entrepreneur. You got to be a leader if you're going to grow a successful business. All right, looks like our friend Rachel might be raising her hand. I'm not sure. Rachel, I'm going to grab you again if that means you want to make an additional comment. Rachel? Hello? 1195, are you raising your hand again? Is your hand just still up from before?
Hey, you talking to me? This is Rachel.
Yes, Rachel. Were you raising your hand again, or is it up from before?
Yeah, no, I raised my hand again. I raised my hand again, and I was calling you in from I was calling you in from another phone, so I have to now hang. I said they don't see me, so I was. Let me go. I'm hanging up this other phone because that's why we're getting that feedback. Sorry. I just wanted to jump in on the vision board because now, first of all, when I heard Nefreda come on, I'm like, oh God, that is one of the most incredible reports I had seen between her and Betty Knighton, and that's another organization I'm in, another group I'm in, the Group Generations, which has had a huge impact on me. And so when you look at the masterminders that have been masterminding for a while and you look at their report, it's a little intimidating. And so I'm thinking to myself now about my vision board, and I've been vision boarding for vision boarding and dream booking for quite a while. I'm like, okay, we got to get our vision board together. Now you guys are talking about bringing your vision board. I'm like, oh, my God, like, I'm not going to, how are we going to get, you know, I'm not, I guess I'm competitive, but I'm like, wow, I want to have my stuff together the way you guys do. But I just want to let all the listeners know, man, how important it is to get those pictures and get those things together. And one of the things that impacted me, and when you're out and you're masterminding and you're getting after your dreams and you're getting after your goals and you're being a light for what's possible, I definitely have Michelle Obama on my vision board. I've always had Oprah on there. I have, you know, a host of other things dealing with my weight, how I want to look, how I want to be, where I want to live, where I want to go, and all of those things. And those things really start coming around, even if you're not looking at it all the time. But what is going to be, what was a big deal for me is one time I was sitting with a young lady talking to her about just giving her a little coaching. And inside of that, she gave me a little gift. It was a little journal book. And she explained to me about how I was on her vision board and how she had planned to meet me one day and that I would mentor her the way I was mentoring her that day. And to my and to this day, that still kind of gives me chill bumps, goosebumps. And so I want everybody to really understand what a big deal it is that when we go after our dreams and goals the way we're doing, it's not only for ourselves. It's for ourselves, it's for our families, it's for our successes, and all those things, but it's also for the people that we don't even realize that's watching us, that as we achieve our dreams, it gives them the okay to achieve theirs too. And you never know, you could literally end up on someone's vision board, and that's just a very humbling thing to have happen. The last thing I want to say is I've been working on a project that has to do with coffee, where I've been in formulation of the coffee for over a year. And then the last 4 months, I've been working on the pricing, getting the pricing right, and really trying to put together a perfect cup of coffee. It's definitely going to save you money. It's definitely less than our other single-serving cups of coffee like Keurig and Boca Java. It's less than Starbucks, less than Burger King, less than McDonald's. And so I want to tell Beatrice that I'm going to definitely reach out to her. I'm just getting out of the gates. We've been out of the gates now for about a week and a half.
I'm sorry, you're going to reach out to Beatrice, but we got two more people, and one has never been on our show.
All right, girl. So I'm done. You guys have a... All right, I'll talk to you guys later. I'm listening in. Bye-bye.
See you at the annual meeting. Thank you.
I look forward to it. Bye-bye.
770 call. I think this is Terry. Terry, is this you?
Yes, it's me, Angela. Thank you so much for the upcoming coaching session. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so thankful to be listening on your calls, and thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Have you listened have you been on every call?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You're going to get the coaching session, but I'm also going to send you the Glenn Bland book, because you've been so committed to listening to us each week. So just inbox me your information, and I'll order from Amazon and ship it directly to your house. You're going to love it. It's a great companionship book to go along with Think and Grow Rich.
Yay!
And it's a little book. It's one of those kinds you can throw in your purse and probably can read it while you're sitting in the doctor's office.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, guys, we got Ann McNeil, I'm pretty sure. Ann, one more thing before we start wrapping it up here. We got a minute. Ann, did you raise your hand?
Yes, this is actually Malachi Monroe, her grandson. I was actually just calling in to encourage everyone to go to the annual meeting. I'm not going to be able to make it because, as you may know, I'm studying abroad in Nassau, Bahamas. But I encourage you to get your goals and accomplishments ready for the call.
Thank you so much, Malachi. There's Malachi Monroe. He's a published author, been masterminding since he's probably been old enough to read and write and setting goals. And we're so proud of you, Malachi, and all your successes and all that you're doing to inspire young people to be masterminders.
Thank you.
All righty, bye-bye. Okay, let's get ready to wrap it up here. We want to remind everybody again that the annual meeting is next weekend. We'll be broadcasting live from the annual meeting. We're looking so forward to it. We want to wish you guys a happy new year. Beatrice, any final sayings here? We got about 35 seconds, guys.
I just want to wish everyone a happy new year, and I'm so excited about the annual meeting and 2012. It's time for us to live our dreams.
All right, Rufus, you got about 10 seconds.
If you don't know where you want to be, at least you know where you don't want to be. Don't wait till tomorrow. Start now. You're one day closer to where you want to be.
Awesome. All right, guys, so this is Angela M. Williams, and we've got Beatrice Lewis St. Rufus Curry, Jr. of the Anointed Masterminders. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
All right.
Good night. Goodbye-bye, everyone.